what I've studied this week, because I want to leave you in an environment of hope. Hope is something today that our world is looking for. Our world is looking everywhere for hope. If I had time today, this morning, I would take a little longer, maybe talking about the things that people are looking for hope in. But you know, and I know this morning, that if you're saved today, you know that the only place you've ever found hope is in Jesus. I just want to say this and go on record. Everything that I am, which may not be much in people's eyes, I don't know, but I owe it all to Him. I owe it all to Him because He is my hope. So many people today are living this life without hope. That's why your bars are full. So many people are looking for hope today, and that's why the drug dealer's house is full. But yet you know and I know, if we've ever tasted and seen, if you will, of the Lord Jesus, He is our hope. Now, I'm not going to take the time to preach a whole message. I'm going to share with you a few things and then probably most likely pick back up here tonight in the same spot. If you've not been here on Wednesday night, we started a little message on this past Wednesday night on vision. And we're in the book of Habakkuk, and we're going to go back there again this Wednesday night. And I hope that you can come and be a part of that. Really, really quick this morning, really fast this morning. I want you to look in the scripture to the book of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Now, this is a very, very familiar portion of scripture. But in this, we read this scripture very, very often at funeral services. I cannot tell you over the years how many funeral services I've actually read this scripture at. In some way, just trying to give the hearers that are there a hope to hold on to, that when they're getting ready to put their loved one in the ground or in a mausoleum or an urn, you know, whatever the case may be, as a believer, it is not the final amen. It's a see you later type deal. And we've done that many times. But this morning, I wanted to share this with you because of what Paul the Apostle was saying here in the book of Thessalonians. That, again, when I've read through the book of Thessalonians, we see that Paul was there giving the confidence to those believers at Thessalonica. And we see that Paul was trying to get them encouraged in the Lord, and because the commentary said that there was great persecution among the believers at that time. You and I this morning, we are not as yet have faced any what we might want to call real persecution for our faith. I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, and I'm certainly not a doomsday prophet. But you and I, we really don't know what we may or may not have to face in the future. I have no idea. But I want you to be encouraged today, as Paul wrote to them and Paul encouraged them. And he said this over and over again. And one of the themes of the book of Thessalonians, if you will, is a message of hope. Now, when he opens this up in verse number 13, we see this, and this is what he says there in the scripture: "But I would not have you to be ignorant or uninformed or unknowledgeable of this event." And then he says, "Brethren, concerning them which are asleep," and he says, "that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, I know this morning that I could take the time and talk about those five or six verses there and spend the rest of the morning actually talking about just those things. Now, a couple of things that I wanted to mention as we move into this message this morning is simply found again what Paul was writing. Paul was writing this message to the church to inform them, yeah, the coming of the Lord. The reason that that was there is because many in that day, you can also read 2 Thessalonians, believed that they had already missed the coming of the Lord. And Paul was writing to them, hey, you've not missed that. It's still a event that is to be taking place somewhere in the future. Now, I know today that there are those that would downplay the fact that there is no really such thing as the rapture. And I didn't prepare a rapture message this morning, but you and I know that the Bible talks about the rapture in a lot of different places. And I know the word rapture is not in the Bible, and I understand all that. The word rapio, again, is the word for rapture, and that's where we get the word caught up. And we take that on that foundation. But that is another message for another time. What I wanted to look at here is found in verse number 13. Just for a few minutes. And Paul was actually talking about this. I'll give you the short version this morning and then the longer version this afternoon. So in this, Paul was actually saying this in verse number 13. Paul was writing this as a word of encouragement to the believers that was there. He wanted to give them hope. If there's anything today that our world needs is hope. Amen. We see this where Paul was writing and Paul was saying that he did not want them to be ignorant or uninformed, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, our loved ones, those that's already went before us, and those of you that's lost loved ones in this room, and those of you that have lost loved ones this week that might be listening, or somebody that's close to you that you know has went on to be with the Lord. In Jesus, my friend, Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that, my friend, is a hope that you can base this scripture upon this morning. When we think about hope today, hope is defined in a whole lot of different ways, and I'm going to walk through some of them this morning just for a few minutes. We see this in the scripture about what Paul was talking about. Paul was telling them that they did not have to worry about anything, but those that are not saved and born again are the ones this morning that have no hope. But for you and for me, the born again children of God, there is hope today. There is hope for you and there is hope for me today. And I started into this earlier by singing that song, The Anchor Holds. And you think about an anchor today, that the anchor of my soul is Jesus today. We think about hope and what hope really is, or what hope can be defined as. And we look at that word hope and we see it defined in the Vine's Concordance simply like this. It is defined as a favorable and confident expectation. A favorable and a confident expectation. Hope has to do with the unseen and the future. Faith, again, when we look at the scripture, it talks about faith, and those things that are seen are no longer of faith. And it gives a definition between the two. But hope is this. Hope is established upon trust. Hope is established upon trust. The Bible talks about this in Proverbs chapter number 3. And we open that up and we've said this scripture so many times through the years in verse number 5, where the Bible just teaches us and he says to trust in the Lord. When we have hope in the Lord, we are not putting our hope in ourselves. We're not putting our trust in ourselves. You think this morning as our economy economy is like a whirlwind right now, and we could talk about that for a minute, but I won't for the sake of time. Our confidence cannot be placed in the things that we see in this world today. Things in this world have let us down so much, and I'm not trying to be doomsday this morning. I'm trying to get you to understand that if we're truly going to have faith today, if we're truly going to have peace today that passeth all understanding, we've got to get our hope once again established in Jesus. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Look in verse number 6. He says, in all of your ways, everything that you do, he said, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. When we think about hope, it is absolutely taking your hands off of it. Listen, this is so hard for me to do. My daughter slipped in, and she knows this. It is so hard for me to do, to take my hands off of something. Hello? Because why? Because you're Mr. Fix-It. Yes, I am. I've always been that way. I've always felt the responsibility of a dad or a husband or a pastor for all of my adult life. It's like I've always had my hand in something, trying to fix it, trying to make it better, trying to make it turn in the way I want it to turn, and I want it to look the way I want it to look. And just within the last few years, folks, I have absolutely tried my best to learn how to just put it in God's hands and let God do it and leave it alone. Those things that you feel like you can fix, it'll keep you awake at night. It'll make you gray-headed, if you will. It'll make you want to pull your hair out. But here's the thing. If we get to that place, if we understand that our hope is anchored in Him and not ourselves, and then God, my friend, will be the source of our hope. And He is our source this morning. He is our hope today. When we think about it, it talks about hope as a confidence. It talks about hope as an assurance. It talks about hope as this. It says with an absolute undeniable hope of Jesus and what Jesus said in the Word of God. In the New Testament, hope again is defined as favorable. It talks about confident. It talks about confident expectation. And hope has to do with the unseen and the future. One of the first things I begin to think about, and again, I'm just going to talk about this for a little bit, and we'll move on and go eat some lunch. But we think about the first thing that I think about hope. When it talks about confident expectation, I want to tell you something. Paul was telling them in this scripture, you're not like everybody else. You're not like everybody else. When he says this in his text in verse 13, he said that you sorrow not as others who have no hope. Think about it. Hey, if I was on my way to hell today, I'd be cringing in that pew right now. Because I would know without shadow of a doubt that I would have no hope. But because of Jesus. See, Romans, if you look in Romans chapter number 8, we see this in a couple of verses of Scripture. We see this in verse number 24. And he says, for we are saved by hope. I'm not to heaven yet, but I got heaven in my heart. I've not seen those pearly gates yet, but I've got heaven in my heart. I've not seen the streets of gold, but I got heaven in my heart. I've not seen Jesus face to face, but I got heaven in my heart. I know when he writes these scriptures that, again, Paul was writing this, for we are saved by hope. Now watch this. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Verse 25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Again, verse 26 talks about the Holy Spirit helping our infirmities there. But he teaches us here that as long as we are on this earth, I want to say this to somebody today. Maybe you came in this room today and maybe your chin was scrubbing the bottom, if you will. Maybe you felt like you could barely put one foot in front of the other. Maybe today is all almost as if your faith was gone. It's almost as if your hope was gone. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Even if we leave this world, even if we leave this sanctuary and something horrible happens to us today, rest assured, my friend, if we've got hope in Jesus, it's not the final amen, because we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And if I have my hope only anchored in this world, I'm going to have only what this world has to offer. But if I've got my hope anchored in heaven, I'm going to gain what heaven has to anchor. Amen. Around this room, those of you that I know have lost loved ones and grieved over loved ones for years, that I've loved you and known you, and I plan on doing that till Jesus comes. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I just come by long enough to tell you today that you don't have to be filled with sorrow. You don't have to lose your hope in Jesus. Oh, my friend, because He is our hope today. Heaven, my friend, the promise of heaven is our hope. When we think about hope today, we think about heaven and we think about hope today. Again, the terminology here is the happy anticipation of good. We think about the good. We think about what good gifts comes from God. We think about the future. We look at Titus chapter number 1 and verse number 2 again, where Titus and Paul was writing, and how that this come together in verse number 2. We see this in Titus 1. And when the writer was writing this, this is what he said. He said, in hope, again, the happy anticipation of good. In hope, I like that, don't you? Of eternal life. Now somebody says, where are you going to spend eternity? Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, because I'm going to say it in a kind of in a contrary way, but you're already living in eternity. Hello? You say, well, if this is eternity, it sure ain't a good one. I didn't say that this was the final amen. If, for those that are in Jesus Christ, my friend, you will never die. Hello? Even those that go to the other place, they ain't going to die. You're living in eternity. Your soul is going to live forever. It's not a matter of whether your soul's going to live. It's not a matter of whether you're going to have eternal life or not. See, that's where the agnostics and the atheists and all that. Hey, I heard a little thing the other day and said, every atheist will deny God until they need Him. And then it's all of a sudden, it's like, why are they fighting against something that they don't believe in? That has never made any sense. They say they're atheists. And they fight people and they fight Christians and they say they're atheists. If you're an atheist today and listen to me, why are you fighting the church so much? Just let us do our thing. You do your thing, we do my thing, you know? But I don't, never mind. I'm chasing rabbits right there. But anyway, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised from before the world began. We have that hope. We have that hope of eternal life. Look at your neighbor and say, where are you going? Now wait for the answer. I'll be back in 5 minutes. If they didn't say heaven, we're in trouble this morning, Josh. Amen. We have a hope today. Now, if I had time this morning, and I know I'm already past my time, if I had time this morning, I could talk about heaven for the next 30 minutes. I'm not going to do that. Because sitting on these pews and listening to me, you know where you're going. You know whether you're right and whether you're wrong. You know whether you're ready for heaven or not. And my friend, when we think about ready for heaven, it's an anticipation. Let me give you these three things real fast, then I'll visit them again tonight. So the happy anticipation of good. I'm not going to read the rest of the scriptures. I'm just going to tell them real fast, because I can't hit every one of them. The happy anticipation of good. Heaven's going to be good, folks. You think about fried chicken down here? I don't know what they're going to have, Brother Jones, at the marriage supper of the Lamb, but it's got to be good. It's got to be good. Amen? Little humor there, friends. You can laugh in church. It's okay. It's going to be good. Then we look at this. The second thing is hope. And again, I'm skipping over a whole bunch. Is the ground, the foundation upon which hope is based. In other words, it says the object upon which something is built. I don't have time to get into this right now. But there's a scripture in the Bible, and y'all know this. The wise and the unwise. And they built their house. One built his house upon the sand. And when the winds comes, the storms blew, the storms of life came. He didn't have an anchor. He didn't have nothing to hold to. And the Bible says it fell, and great was the fall thereof. What are you building on? The other one said he built his house upon the rock. And Jesus is the rock. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The same storms come, the same wind blew. And it says in the scripture in the book of Matthew, and it fell not. Our hope is not based upon the things of this world. Third thing, real fast. Not only is the ground by which it's built upon, I got scripture for that. We may look at it later. The third thing is this. And again, I'll give you the scripture reference and you can look it up, because I'm going to hit it again tonight. If our hope is built with anticipation of heaven, and if the ground up and under us is built on solid ground. Third thing, simply this, the object upon which the hope is fixed. Psalm 108, I think it's in verse number 1. I didn't look it up, but my heart goes back to that. I should have wrote it down. When I was studying, I even thought about the scripture, but Psalm 108, I think it is verse 1, it says this, that my heart is fixed. When you look at this word fixed, that might not be it. It's down through there. Yeah, it is. Oh, my heart is fixed. Thank you. When you think about that word fixed, we think about set. Men that do yard work, we think about something that sets. You got to get that concrete mixed up really, really fast, don't you? Got to get it in the hole pretty quick. Why? Because if you don't get it stirred up and get it in there really, really quick, what's it going to do? It's going to set up. We call it, it's going to get set. Once it gets set, you can't move it. It's no more pliable. He says, my heart is fixed. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Everything within me, God, belongs to you. He said, my heart is fixed. Now, my hope, again, says this. The object upon which the hope is fixed. Upon Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. This is the scripture. We're not going to turn there. We're going to look at it later. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 17 and 19. In those scriptures, it talks about the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I write unto you, brethren, that I don't want you to be misinformed or uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant. In verse 13 of our text, he says that he writes, and he says that you sorrow not as others do who have no hope. Whatever you're going through this week, this is what I feel in my heart. This is the way I channel stuff. This is the way I feel stuff in my own mind. You got to go back and hit the reset button. Hello? You got to go back and somebody says, you got to reboot your computer. It's acting crazy. It's not acting right. You got to reboot that computer. Sometimes we need a rebooting, don't we? Somebody says somebody needs a good boot. That's not what I'm talking about. We got to reboot our hard drive, if you will. Some of you people that know computer terminology, we got to reboot to make it work right, to make it flow right, to make it think right, to make it act right. I don't know how you came in the room today. I have no idea. God's service, not mine. God's service. If you came in without hope as you stand with me today, I hope these simple little words of truth today helped you to understand that there is hope. There is hope for you. Father, we love you today. And we do thank you. We do honor you. Lord, more than just words of our lips, more than just words to speak and words to say. But God, I pray, Father God, that you, Lord, even now, that person that may be hearing me, that person that might have walked in this room today without hope, somebody hurting on the inside today, somebody that's struggling today in their life, and somebody that's given up on hope, somebody that's given up on life, Father, I pray, God, for restoration today. I pray for a restored hope today. I pray, God, that you'd help us. Help us in this room to cast all of our care upon you. For God, you care for us. Father, we love you and honor you and praise you and thank you. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If you're here today and this message spoke to your heart, would you just slip your hand up, put it back down? I don't know who you are, anybody at all. Giving you the hope and the assurance that you need to get not only through today, but to get on your way. Amen. Lord, you've seen every hand that was raised. And I pray, God, as these hands was raised today, the Holy Spirit, that you would do a work in the lives of these people that raised their hands today. That, God, that you would give them full assurance. Father, somebody's listening to me that they feel like they're just wasting their time walking the pathway that they're walking right now. And Father, that can be walking in the pathway of the world, or maybe they feel like they're walking in a waste of time serving you or serving the church or anything like that. God, I pray that you turn them around. And Lord, let us cast our eyes upon Jesus and let us look to Jesus again to see him in all of his glory and all of his honor. Father, help us to be found faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. I hope you have a fantastic day. We will have church tonight at 6 o'clock. Amen. God bless you as you go in Jesus' name.